Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief, formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur at the top line of Daf Chof Aleph. We see a Tanaic source, as you can see, a framed-in section. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Kol Elu Shamru Ein Madlikin Bohen B'Shabbes. All of the materials that were mentioned as not being allowed for lighting on Shabbos, we mentioned wicks and fuels that one cannot use for lighting candles on Shabbos. Avol Oisin Mehen Medura, but a bonfire, a large fire, can be made using those materials. Bein lehishamim kenegdo, bein lishtamish leora. Whether you are using it for heat purposes or for illumination, for light. Bein al gabi karka, bein al gabi kira. Whether it be on the ground or in an oven. Velo osu elasos mehen psilo lener bilvad. The materials mentioned as being not allowed were only in the context of using them for making a wick alone. The idea being that a large fire, that even if a particular type, one part doesn't burn very well in an isolated fashion in a candle, but as part of a bonfire, so one piece of material will enable the other piece of material to burn, so that one is helping out the other, so to speak, during the combustion, thereby promoting a constant flame, and hence no fear of tampering with it, as is the case in a candle. We continue with materials mentioned in the Mishnah, Velo b'shem and kik. One of the forbidden materials was shemen kik. My shemen kik, what is that? You'll see, with regard to our markings, we have a double underline feature, which is one of our series markings. And we have three of them to explain what is shemen kik. So Omar Shmuel tells us, Shaltinu l'chol nechusi yoma, I asked all of the seafarers, v'omru li, oif echad yesh b'kroche hayom, v'kik shmo. There is a bird located in some overseas location, and the name of the bird is kik, so it's oil that comes from that bird. And that would be the oil that is not to be used in a candle on Shabbos. Rav Yitzchok Brei, Rav Yehuda Omar, Mashcho de Koza. Mashcho de Koza, Rashi says, Shemen she'oisin migarinei tzemer gefen. It's the oil that's made from the seeds of the tzemer gefen plant. Shikorin cotton. In fact, in modern Hebrew, the term tzemer gefen is a reference to what we call in English cotton, or more familiar to us maybe cottonseed oil. The next opinion on Shemen Kik is Reish Lakish Omar Kikoyon Diyona. The Tanakh in Sefer Yonah reports a story toward the end of Sefer Yonah. Many of you may be familiar with it, as that is what we read on Yom Kippur in the afternoon. So that at the end of that story, there is a plant that the Kodesh Baruch Hu causes to grow to create shade for the prophet Yonah. So that plant is called the Kikoyon, and it's called Kikoyon de Yonah. So it's oil made from that plant. Omar Rabo Barbarchano Ledidi Chozi Likikoyon de Yonah. I saw that plant. Ulitzlu Liva Domi. It is like a tzluliva. There's a note on the side in the name of the Oroch, let's say, type of non-fruit-bearing tree, Elon Srak, non-fruit tree. So it's like that. Umi depash ki rovi. It grows in a marshy area. The al pum chanusa madlan yasei. And it is often placed at the entrance to stores, to stores chanuyot, for the purpose of its shade and its pleasant aroma. Umi par si dohi avdi mashla, and from its seeds one makes oil. So the kikoyon diona was just described in some greater length in all its different purposes. It's a shade bearing tree, also aromatic, and its seeds are used for oil production. Uva anfohi naichon kol briche demarova, and under its branches, brichi are people that are ill, people that are sick. They sleep under its branches. Omar Rabba. We see now a new marking, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have these diamonds with colored in tips and a double underline. The double underline will be highlighting the word Mipnei, and we have written these are Hapsilos, these are Hatam, Sheme'achorei Hapsilos Ushmonim Shamru Chachomim Shelo Lahadlik. Here the Gemara gives the reason that we have been speaking about, the reasons that we've been speaking about up till now, why the different oils and wicks that were mentioned by the Chachomim not to use, why is that so? Omar Rabba, Psilos Shomru Chachomim Ein Malikin Bohen B'Shabbos. We should mention we've highlighted the word Psilos, and the next word is Shmonim. So first we deal with the wicks. Rabba deals with the wicks and says the reason the Chachomim said not to use those materials that were listed, Mitnei Sha'or Misachseches Bohen. The light, the flame, jumps. It's an inconsistent type flame, and that will cause people to manipulate it, that would be manipulated on Shabbos, of course, and that's what's forbidden. Shmonim she'omru chachamim ein madlikin bohen, the oils dictated as being unfit. Mipnei she'ein nimshochen achar psilah, they're not drawn to the wick effectively. And Rashi says as a result of that, one may come to tilt the candle to cause greater oil flow, and that will be forbidden. Bominei Abaye me Rabba. Abaye asks, Shmonim Shomru Chachomim Ein Malikin Bohen B'Shabbos. Those oils that we were told not to use, Mahu Shitein V'Soichon Shemen Kol Shu V'Adlik, would it be allowed to add to it some of the acceptable oil, and that would cause it to be drawn after the wick, and therefore would that be a reason to allow this, we'll call it the oil mixture? Mi Gazrinon, do we make Xero Dilma Osiad Luki Binayu, that we won't allow the mixture, which is effective, but we won't allow it because you might come then to use the forbidden oils on their own. Oh no, or we don't make such a gezera. Omar Le, Rabba answers, Ein Madlikin. No, one is not allowed to. My time off. Lefisha Ein Madlikin. This answer basically is saying it's because we make a gezera. In other words, first the answer is we don't use it, and then he says, well, because we don't use it as a result of Xera. There's a note on the side. First of which Rashi mentions Lufi She'en Madlikin. Rashi says Be'inayu, we don't use them on their own. V'gazrinon ha'otu ha. In other words, since we don't light them on their own, we make Xera not to use them even in a mixture fashion. The note on the side under the Oruch says that this is a tradition that we have and accept it as such. Continuing in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a bow tie form, and we indicate this under our Mivne heading on the side. The words Eisvei or later Eini are questions on Rava's Psak. In other words, we're going to see from in the upcoming section of Gemara that there should be an allowance. Eisvei. The Tanaic source starts, Korach Dovar Shemadlikin Boi, Algabi Dovar She'ein Madlikin Boi, Ein Madlikin Boi. Someone wrapped around a substance that you are allowed to light with, around a substance that you're not allowed to light with. So the first opinion says you're not allowed to use that. Let's say it's an example of a combination, and one cannot use it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Shobes Abo Hayu Korchen Psilo Al Gabi Egoiz Umadlikin. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel tells us that they used to take a wick, a proper wick, and wrap it around a nut, a form of a combination, and they would light it. Kotoni Mihas Madlikin. We see from this story, focusing on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that you are allowed to use it. It's a combination. You have a wick with a nut. And we'll assume for right now that a nut is not something that you're allowed to light with. The wick is, and we allow it. You notice we have a bracketed section. Let us skip the bracketed section for a moment. And we note, my lav lahaklik. Is it not so that we are talking about this wick-nut combination for lighting purposes? And we therefore see that a combination arrangement of something allowed with something not allowed is acceptable. Loi, that's not the case here. Lahak pois, the combination here is not for the purpose of having the nut burn as well, but rather the nut serves as a float. Maybe you're familiar with this, where we have this type of thing today, the floating wick, where a piece of wick is inserted into a cork that's coated with some aluminum foil, and that's used as a float. This is an earlier version of that, and that's what we're talking about. The Gemara then goes on to ask about this answer, and we'll get to that shortly. Let's go back over the bracketed section. The Gemara asked from Rav Shimon Gamliel, who was allowing it, and that would have been a challenge to Rabba. So, Omar Lei, Rabba says back, Ademois, we're in the bracketed section, we've gone back a couple lines, the beginning of the brackets. Omar Lei, Ademois Visli, Rav Shimon Gamliel, so Rabba says, instead of asking on me from Shimon Gamliel, Sayinu Midtona Kama. Why not give support to us from the Tanakama, who did not allow? So the Gemara answers, Ha lo kashya, maisa rav. This isn't a question, because when you have a chance to bring to the fore either, a halacha that's stated in a vacuum, or a halacha derived from an actual incident, the halacha that's derived from an actual incident carries greater weight. And that was the case with Rav Shimon Gamliel, where it said that that's what they used to do in their house. Hence, we prefer to use that as the basis of the question. And with that in mind, the Gemara continues, my lav lahaglik, was it not so that the story involving Rav Shimon Gamliel's household is that they used the nut wick arrangement for lighting purposes? So we see a combination is allowed. Loi, they didn't use it for lighting purposes, rather lahakpos, as a float. E lahakpos, my time of the Tanakama, if it's used as a float, so why did the Tanakama rule prohibition? Answer, Kula Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, he, really, the source doesn't have two separate opinions in it. It's all in lines with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, v'chisori mechaser v'hochi kotoni. And it's taught, literally, it's with missing information. It's taught in an abbreviated fashion. And thusly, one should understand it. Korach dover shemadlikin bo, algabi dover shein madlikin bo, ein madlikin bo. And now we've dashed, underlined this. This shows how Rabo's position is maintained. that it's still forbidden to use it. The prohibition is if you want both to serve as the material to burn. But if you're combining some material, two materials, and one of them is simply to serve as a float, mutter. Shiramlam Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Shobes Abu Hoyu Korchem Psilo Agabi Egos. As Rav Shimon Gamliel taught that his family tradition was to use a wick wrapped around a nut to serve as a float. The Gemara asks, Eini, is this so? The Omar Rav Bruno Omar Rav Chelev Mehutach Vekirve Dogim Shenimochu. Chelev that has, chelev is fats, animal fats that have melted, and fish innards that have melted. Adam noisein lesoichoi shemen kol shehu umadlik. A person can add to these substances, so we have a mixture arrangement, and use them as fuel. So we see a combination arrangement is allowed. The Gemara answers, this is not a kasha on Rabba. Hani mimshechi be'inayu. These items that we labeled Aleph and Beis, the Chelev Mehutach and the Kirvei Dogim Shenimochu, are actually good fuels on their own. Mimshechi literally means they're drawn after of the wick, being that the negative feature of the oils in general was their inability to be absorbed by the wick material effectively. These substances, the Chelev Mehutach and the Kirvei Dogim Shenimochu, are absorbed by the wick in an effective manner. However, what happened here is Vahani, let's read this again. Vahani Mimshechi Be'inayu, Vahani Lo Mimshechi Be'inayu. The materials forbidden that were listed by the Chachomim, those fuels, those oils, are not absorbed effectively. The Gozu Rabbonon Al Chelev Mehutach. You'll notice we have a double underline here under Al here and the next line, and on the side, this is Havlota. This is, we're trying to emphasize these words just to Lahokel Al Kriya, to make the reading easier. We're emphasizing these two substances. They made Gzera on Chelev Mehutach, Mishum Chelev Shein Mehutach, that we don't want you using the melted chelev in anticipation. Again, let's say we don't want you using chelev mehutach on it by itself. That's very important to emphasize. We don't want you using chelev mehutach by itself, even though it's an effective fuel. Why don't we want you using it by itself? Because you might come to use it in a non-melted fashion. That's mishum chelev sheinu mehutach, and that is ineffective. The al kirvei dogim shenimochu, they made a gzera not to use kirvei dogim shenimochu without, you know, by themselves, even though this would be a good fuel. But we don't want you using them mishum kirvei dogim shelonimochu, because you might come to use the kirvei dogim that are not melted. So that's as far as the extent of the rabbinic rulings. However, they didn't prevent a case of using the chelev mehutach, which is a good fuel on its own, and mix into it one of the acceptable oils from the oil list. Likewise with the kirvei dogim. The Gemara asks, well, if you're into making gezeros, rabbinic rulings, the restrictive rulings, v'ligzor nami chelev mehutach, the kirvei dogim shenimochu shenosan l'soichon shemen, why not ban even the mixture case mishum chelev mehutach v'kirvei dogim shenimochu shaloi nosan l'soichon shemen? The Gemara answers, the reason we don't ban the mixture case in anticipation of the use of these good oils in a non-mixture case is he gufo gzera. The prohibition of using the chelev mehutach and the kirvei dogim shenimochu by themselves itself is a mere rabbinic restriction. Are you expecting us to arise and and make an additional gzera upon that which is already a pre-existing gzera. We don't ordinarily do that in halacha formulation. We leave things as a one-stage prohibition. So the one-stage prohibition is using these items by themselves. But once you were to mix into them one of the fuels from our acceptable shemen list, then it would be okay. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side under the Nosei heading, Psilos Ushmonim Shelo Lahadlik Bohen L'Shabbos. The different wicks and oils that we mentioned one should not use for Shabbos candles, Ein Madlikin Bohen B'Mikdash. One should not use them in the Beis HaMikdash. And we say the Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Tony Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama presents us with a Tanaic source. Psilos Ushmonim Shon Mucham Ein Ladikim B'Shabbos. Those wicks and oils, the Chachamim legislated as being forbidden to use on Shabbos. Ein Ladikim Bohen B'Mikdash. One is not allowed to use them in the lighting of the menorah. Mishum Shenemar La'alois Ner Tomid. That's the pasuk in the context of the menorah. Who Tony Lavu Omar La? He, Rami Bar Chama, teaches this source, and he also explains Kedei Shtei Shalheves Oyla Me'elav Lo Shtei Oyla Al Yedei Davar Acher. That the Kohen in lighting the menorah has to do it in such a way that it will be ensured to continue burning on its own without other means, without other factors, and therefore we insist on using wicks that absorb oil that burns with a clear flame. The triangles that follow represent kushos al hanal, as we've indicated in our mivneh heading. So you have one over here, and the next line another one. Tanan, we have a Tanaic source that mentions mi beloei michnase kohanim umehemei nehem hoyu mafkiin, from the worn out michnase or the kohen pants. As you're probably familiar, the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash have very special clothing, as is dictated by the Torah itself in Parshas Tetzaveh. So from those Michnasayim, when they're worn out, and from the Avnet, Memnenim, or the Avnet, the belt that was wrapped around the midsection of the Kohen, they would unravel it, Umehen Madlikin, unravel, make them into wicks and light with them. We must point out that in the Avnet there was Semer. And Semer, wool, is one of those materials that are forbidden to be used as wicks for Shabbos candles. And so according to the rule we just had, things that you don't use for Shabbos candles, you don't use for the Beis HaMikdash. And here they did. The Gemara answers, well, we didn't tell you the context of this source. Simchas Beis HaShoeh V'Shaini. This source features the festivities that were conducted in the Beis HaMikdash surrounding the drawing of water for the Nisuch HaMayim on the holiday of Sukkot. And during those great the festivities that were observed during the holiday of Sukkot, there were torches that figured in the festivities. So in lighting those torches, they used the worn out big day kahuna, and as such, it doesn't bother. It's not what we were referring to before in the source where we said we don't use them in the mikdash, but there we were referring specifically to the menorah, not the simchas beis hashoeva. There isn't this restriction. Toshma de Toni Rabo Bar Matona. So we present another Tanaic source, and it says as follows: Big Day Kahuna Shet Bolu, the worn out Kohanim clothing, Mafkiyin or something would be unraveled. U Mehen Hoyu Oisim Psilos LaMikdash, and from them they would make wicks for the Beis HaMikdash. My Lav de Kilayim. When we speak about the worn out Big Day Kahuna, are we not referring to the garments that were also made of kilayim? Kilayim, Rashi says, like the avnate, that the belt that wrapped around the kohen midsection was made of a mixture of wool and linen. So wool being present, is that not what is being referred to, and yet they would use it? Lo, that's not what was used. The boots is the linen clothing. That is what was unraveled and made into wicks, and that the boots, the linen, is an acceptable type of wick material. So the original source that Rami Bar Chamo stated is maintained. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking, and on the side we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, in which we've written, and we should also note that this goes till Omid Beis, so that when you turn the page, you'll want to look for another house marking. These are Deos Be'inyim Psusu Shmonim Huruyim Lener Chanukah. We'll be talking about oils and wicks in the context of the Chanukah candles that one lights in his home on the holiday of Chanukah. Omar Rav Huna, he's the first of several opinions. Psilos Ushmonim Shomru Chachomim Ein Malikin Buen B'Shabbos. And by the way, each one of these opinions is working with that opening. The wicks and fuels as regards Shabbos, what is the din with regard to Chanukah? So Rav Huna says, Ein Malikin Bohen B'Chanukah. One does not use them on Chanukah, Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'Chol. Now, Chanukah is an 8-day holiday, so naturally it will include at least one, sometimes even two, Shabboses. One does not use it for the Chanukah candles, whether it be the weekday Chanukah candles or the Chanukah candles that one lights on Shabbos. Don't confuse the mention of Shabbos here with regard to the Shabbos mentioned in the opening phrase. Those were talking about the Shabbos candles that one lights every week. Here we're talking specifically about the Shabbos Chanukah candles, the candles used in the Chanukah menorah in celebration of the Chanukah holiday. So Rav Huna says that just like it's forbidden to use the materials mentioned in the context of Shabbos candles, one cannot use them for Chanukah candles whatsoever, whether it be Shabbos Chanukah or weekdays of Chanukah. So Rav Huna, will say, is an extreme position in prohibiting. The third opinion, we'll see, is Rav, he is an extreme position in allowing. He'll say that the rules of Shabbos candles have no application to the rules of Chanukah candles. So that's two extreme opinions. In the middle, and it's actually presented here that way in the structure of the Gemara, Rav Chisda, you will see that he makes a distinction. That he will tell you that you do not use them on Shabbos Chanukah, but on the weekdays of Chanukah, you can use the forbidden materials. When we say forbidden, we mean forbidden for Shabbos candles. The Gemara continues. Omar Rava, my time of the Rav Huna. What's the basis of Rav Huna's, we'll say, restriction? Kosovar. There are two parts, and we've labeled them Aleph and Beis. He holds Kofsa Zokuk Lo. He's of the opinion that if the Chanukah candles, after they're lit and they haven't burnt the full amount of time, and they go out before the full burning time has lapsed, Zokukla, one must relight them. Therefore, it stands to reason that since you would have to relight them, we want you to light them initially with proper burning materials, wicks that absorb and flames that have a constant flame and don't flicker. And the reason for insisting on this at the outset is that, well, in the event that it does go out, if you were to use the forbidden materials that would go out, we're afraid maybe you won't relight it, and you're expected to relight it. So don't put yourself in a position where you might not relight it by forgetting, and light it initially with reliable burning materials. And that second point, umutir lishtamish la'ora. This sounds like a leniency, and it is a leniency in a certain respect, but it's a leniency that gives rise to a stringency. Rav Huna is of the position that you're, and this is the hesber for the Shabbos restriction. The Rav Huna is of the opinion you're allowed to sit by the Hanukkah candles and enjoy and benefit from their light. In other words, when we say benefit, it means to sit and read a book by their light, or something else that is involved in an activity that requires light. You can use their light, the Hanukkah candle light. There are other opinions on that matter that say that Hanukkah candle light, one is not allowed to use it. It's there for simply promulgating, popularizing the miracle that took place, and you notice the light, but you don't use the light. He is of the opinion you can use the light. So there's a leniency, but as a result of being allowed to use the light, think about this. You can find yourself on Shabbos sitting and reading a book on Shabbos next to the Hanukkah candlelight if it were being fueled by unreliable materials, so the old problem comes back of you might tilt it in order to produce the necessary light, being that it flickers or the wick doesn't absorb properly. So since we have the leniency of you're being allowed to use it, therefore on Shabbos Hanukkah we impose the restriction that is characteristic of standard Shabbos candles. So just going over Rav Huna's point, and it's true we're dwelling on this, but this is in order to set us up for the second two opinions so we can appreciate them more easily. The Rav Huna has set up the first, the Aleph was Kofsa Zokuk Law. That's an explanation why even during the weekdays we want you to use effective materials, and we'll assert the same materials also for Shabbos candles, because if it goes out, you're expected to relight them, and we're afraid you might forget relighting them. Therefore, initially, at the outset, we insist on your using reliable materials. And the second point regarding the use of these materials on Shabbos, since you're allowed to use Hanukkah candles for their light purposes, we want you to use reliable materials in the event that you'll end up using them on Shabbos, using the Hanukkah candles on Shabbos for their light. Continuing, V'Rav Chista Omar Madlikin Bohen B'Choil Avoloi B'Shabbos. You can use the forbidden Shabbos candle materials for the weekdays of Hanukkah, but not for Shabbos Hanukkah. At this point, being that we explained so thoroughly Rav Huna's position, one could probably figure out the explanation for Rav Chista even without the Gemara spelling things out. But the Gemara is kind enough to spell things out. The two points that we referred to before, first of all, Kofsa, Ein Zokuk La. Rav Chista, as opposed to Rav Huna, holds that if the Hanukkah candles go out, you don't have to relight them. The main aspect of the Hanukkah candle fulfillment is the act of lighting them. If they go out shortly thereafter, as long as there was a potential for them to continue burning, but they didn't, you're not expected to relight them. If that be the case, so we're not so concerned that you use the most effective fuel at the beginning, even though you've increased the possibility of it going out, or certainly not providing a constant flame. Nevertheless, since even in the worst case scenario, so if they go out, you don't have to relight them, so we're not insistent at the outset in using the most effective materials. So that explains, Rav Chista, why you're allowed to use the otherwise forbidden materials with regard to Shabbos candles, but we are lenient with regard to the weekdays of Hanukkah. However, with regard to Shabbos Hanukkah, that one is not allowed, the second point, we're at the top of Omid Beis, Umutur Lishtamesh La'ora. He, like Rav Huna, says you're allowed to use the Hanukkah candles for their light purposes. Therefore, on Shabbos of Hanukkah, you might be sitting there on Shabbos next to the Hanukkah candles and reading by their light. And if you don't use the highest quality materials, the Shabbos candle materials, you might come to fiddle with the candle, and that will be a Shabbos violation. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Matana, V'Amri La, another version by way of names, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav. And now we introduce the third opinion, and that of Rav. We are emphasizing Rav's name. Psilos u'shmonim shomru chachomim ein madlikin bohen b'Shabbos. The same opening that we saw at the beginning with Rav Huna, the materials that were forbidden with regard to Shabbos candles, madlikin bohen b'Chanukah, you're allowed to use them, bein b'chol, bein b'Shabbos. And here you see the extreme leniency with regard to materials. He says you can use them on Chanukah, you can use the otherwise forbidden materials that are forbidden for Shabbos, you can use them for Chanukah candles, no matter if it's the weekday of Chanukah or the Shabbos of Chanukah. Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah, my time of the Rav. And this again here is a case where you probably could have figured this out on your own, but the Gemara is kind enough to spell things out. Kosavar, Rav is of the opinion, Kofsa Ein Zokukla, if it goes out, you're not expected to relight it. And the Usur Lishtamesh Laora, it's forbidden to use the light. Now this is the first time we're seeing this point of forbidden to use the Chanukah candle light. Up till now, we learned Rav Huna's position was that it's Mutur Lishtamesh Laora, and Rav Kista also says it's Mutur Lishtamesh Laora. Here, Rav is saying it's Usur Lishtamesh Laora. And you'll find in the learning of Tosfos that this opinion is accepted. And it's very interesting, you'll ask why you have two saying no, two saying that you're allowed and only one saying you're not allowed. Where does the halacha gain its strength for saying that in fact it's Usur Lishtamesh Laora, which is the opinion that's accepted la halacha? That is something that we won't deal with right now, but we will recommend looking into the Tosfos on that. Needless to say, since it's Usur Lishtamesh Laora, therefore on Shabbos Chanukah, you're not going to be sitting at the outset by the Chanukah candles for light purposes, so that even if they don't light, they don't illuminate that effectively because of the flickering flame or the inconsistent wick that doesn't absorb so well, you're not going to be sitting by them anyway with any need or incentive to adjust them, which would have otherwise resulted in a Shabbos violation. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a double underline, and on the side of the Gemara, we feature why we've done this. Shlavim, these are stages, shesipru hatam shel Rav l'Abaye. Abaye is informed of Rav's ruling, the reasons behind it. Mikoidem nemar lo b'shmoi shel Rabbi Yirmiyah v'lo kiblei. Initially, it was told to Abaye, the reasons were told in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and he didn't accept it. V'achakach b'shmei de Rabbi Yochanan, and later on, at a future time, Abaye was informed of the reasons of Rav in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the kiblo, and then he accepted it. So in effect, Abaye is accepting at the end of this story what he originally rejected. The Gemara. Amru Rabbanan kamei d'Abaye mishmei d'Rabbi Yirmiyah v'lo kiblo. The Rabbanan explained the tam of Rav in the name of, they explained it to Abaye in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and he didn't accept it. Rashi on the second line from the top says Shelo chashavo lismoch al dvarav. He didn't give credence or significance to him in order to rely on him. Ki asa Ravdimi, the Gemara goes on, Amrua Rabbonan kamega bay mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan the kibla. And the same information was told over again to Abaye, but this time in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And he accepted it. It seems from the way Rashi explained things before that Abaye certainly was going to rely on Rabbi Yochanan. Omar, Abaye then said, "I zakoi, if I would have merited learning it at the outset, learning and accepting it at the outset, Gamirta Izakoi, Gamirta Lishmaitse Mikora, I would have learned this teaching at the outset. And only now am I accepting it at this later time. But when I initially heard it, I didn't accept it, and as a result of not accepting something, so he didn't bother, he didn't try to recall it, if you will, or he put it out of his mind. The Gemara asks, V'ha Gamra, but in the final analysis he learned it. In other words, what's so different if you learn it earlier or you learn it later? The Gemara answers, Nafgamina, Legirsa, the Yankisa. There is a difference between that which one learns, Yankisa literally in his youth, might be possibly meaning early in his learning, as opposed to that which you learn much later. Rashi says the difference is that Girsa Yankisa Miskayim Yoser Michel Zikna, that which you learn in your youth sticks with you better than that which you learn in your old age. The Gemara now asks on the issue of Kofsa. We saw of just a few lines up the ruling, and we've seen this before. Kofsa ain't Zolkukla. We've used a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text so you can align this with the earlier arrow where on that line this was mentioned. The Gemara asks on this very point, the Kofsa ain't Zolkukla. If it goes out, is it really so that you don't have to relight it? Viraminu. We have the following source, mitzvasa, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, mishetishka chama, ad shetichla regel min ashuk. It's from the setting of the sun until passers-by stop walking in the market. In other words, when people are not on the streets anymore. My lav, the dictating of time length, is it not for the Kofsa Hoder Madlik law? It's here to tell us that, well, if it goes out during this time period, you have to relight it. So that would be a question from this Tanaic source challenging the idea that Kofsa ain't Zokuk law. The Gemara says, lo, this is no question. What the purpose of this time frame is, the e lo adlik madlik, meaning that if you didn't light your Hanukkah candles at the very beginning of the legislated time, so light it now. And what does light it now mean? Light it before passers-by finish from the streets. The Inami, another opinion as to what this time frame is for, is l'shi'ura, the amount of oil that is to be put in the candle arrangement, the wick arrangement. How much oil, how much fuel must you have there? Enough that it should burn the amount of time from sundown to when passers-by stop walking in the streets. So if one calculates that from sundown till the streets become clear of people is, let's say, a half hour. It takes a half hour from sundown, like, just let's assume people don't like to walk around in the darkness, so that from sundown till the streets are cleared, it takes a half hour for that to take place. So you have to have in your lighting of your Hanukkah candles a half hour's worth of fuel. But there's no issue here of, there's no statement here meant regarding, there's no, let's, we're not dictated here as to when to light the candles. It's simply a means of establishing how much fuel is put in there. So either according to answer one or according to answer two, there's no reference in this source to the event of the candle going out prematurely. The source had said, "Ad shetichle regel min ashuk, v'ad kamo." What does that mean on more, let's say, practical, to bring it down to a practical level? So, Omar Rabba Barachan Rabbi Yochanan ad dekalya rigla de tarmudoi. Rashi says, "Rigla de tarmudoi." You'll see Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines. Shame umo malakti eitzim dakim. Says the Tarmudoi were the name of a people who would gather a stubble type wood, thin wood, umisakvin bashuk at shehoch b'nei ashuk lebatan mishachashecha. They would tarry in the marketplace until the majority of people went home, umavirin bivatayim or, and people once they got home would light. We're talking, of course, before the era of electricity, so they would light fires. ukshitzrichim le'etzim yoytze v'kodim mehem, and this gave enough time for the bulk of the population to start their fires, and people would discover they needed more wood, so they would turn to these people. Hence, we have a standard established of what the time frame is that people are no longer outside. So it's until the Talmudoi were no longer there, because they represented the last of the population to be in the streets. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and we have a marking featured here, and under our Nosei Mivne heading, you'll notice that we have this double underline. Gimel Dargis Bekiyum Mitzvus Ner Chanukah. We'll see three stages, or three levels. Three levels in the performance of Mitzvus Ner Chanukah, Chanukah candle lighting. We'll also deal with a Machlokes Beishamai Beiselo, Eich Linhoig B'Mahadrin Min Mahadrin. We'll see, under the Mahadrin Min Mahadrin level, which is the third level of fulfillment, there is a Machlokes Beisham Beiselo. Do you increase the number of candles as the holiday goes on, or do you start off with the maximum number of candles when the holiday begins and reduce day by day? The source, Tanu Rabbana, Mitzvos Chanukah, Ner Ish Ubeiso. That means one candle is lit per household. That means on any given day of Hanukkah, you'll find only one candle lit. So you light one candle on every night. On each night, you light just a total of one candle for the entire household. With that, one fulfills his basic mitzvah of Hanukkah lighting. The Hamahadrin, the people who are more diligent in the fulfillment of mitzvahs, or those who are mitzvah seekers, Ner l'chol echad v'echad. Once again, we're dealing with a singular candle being lit. However, it's lit on the part of each member of the household. That means on any given day of Hanukkah, the same number of candles will be lit, just that in the Mahadrin level, not just one candle for the entire house, but each member of the household will light his his individual candle. Both of these practices are probably not familiar to most of you, because most of us are used to a Hanukkah. Some people call it a Hanukkah menorah. In Israel, they refer to it as the Chanukiah. This is a receptacle that has eight positions in it, and each night a new number of candles appear. And the first reference to that practice, to what is for us a common practice, is this third level in the source. V'amahadrin min mahadrin, those who are especially diligent and interested in mitzvah fulfillment, Beishamai Omrim, Yom Rishon Madlik Shmoina, on the first night of this 8-day holiday, you'll light eight candles. Mikan Ve'elech Poches V'Holech. As each day goes on, you reduce the number of candles, so that on the first night you've lit eight candles, on the second night seven candles, on the sixth night you'll have only six, because the first night you had eight, the second night seven, the third night you'll have six, etc. By the time you get to the last day of Hanukkah, you'll be down to one candle. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Yom Rishon Madlik Achas, Mikan Velech Moisif Vahilech. Beis Hillel says, on the first day, you'll be lighting one candle. As the days go on, you add an additional candle per night, so that on the eighth night, you'll have eight candles burning. Omer Ula, Pliti Va Trei Amoroi V'Marova. In Ula tells us that in Eretz Yisrael there were two Amoroyim, Rabbi Yossi Bar Oven and Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavida. These two Rabbi Yossis were arguing as to what's the reasoning behind the Tanoim, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And we've emphasized with our markings this diamond with the colored in tip. These are on the side under our Mivneh heading. Beis Deos Lahasbir Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. These are two Amoraic opinions to explain the Tanaic controversy. So Chad Omar, Taimod Beis Shammai. One says that the reason behind Beis Shammai is Keneged Yomim Hanichnosim. He is lighting a number indicating the upcoming number of days. In other words, how many days are left? So that the first night he said you'll light eight. Well, because including the first night there are 8 days. The second night of Hanukkah you're lighting seven, indicating that there are only seven more days, etc. The time of the Beis Hillel, Keneged Yomim Hayotzim. Beis Hillel is acknowledging the number of days that have passed. In other words, he lights on the first night, so indicating that, well, today, one day of candle lighting has gone by. On the second night, he's going to light two candles, indicating 2 days of Hanukkah lighting have gone by. The Chad Omar, the other Rabbi Yossi opinion, is Taimud Beis Shammai Keneged Porei HaChag. The precedent for starting with a larger number and work as the holiday progresses, the number decreases. There's a precedent for this in the Torah with regards to the cow sacrifices that were offered on the holiday of Sukkot. On the first day of Sukkot, and one can discover this by looking either in the Siddur or in a Chumash, but if you look in a Siddur and the Musaf davening of Sukkot, and you notice the number of cows referred to in the Musaf Shmona Esrei on the first day of Sukkot, you'll notice a reference to 13 cows. And on the second day of Sukkot, it is reduced to 12. And by the seventh day of Sukkot, you'll see it gets down to 7. So that you're working your way down from 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, and 7. Showing you that as the holiday progresses, you're going from a larger number down to a smaller number. So we, in halachic formulation, we often look for a precedent. An earlier source, and certainly in a Torah source. So Beis Shammai sees that in the form of the Porei HaChag. The Taimo de Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel sees another halachic precedent for this, and that is the Malin B'Kodesh Vei Moridin, that one increases sanctity levels as opposed to reducing. So in the spirit of rising in sanctity as opposed to decreasing, Beis Hillel says, let's increase the number of candles as opposed to decreasing. And the concept of Malin B'Kodesh Vei Moridin is something that has a basis in the Torah as well. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rabba Bar Bachan Rabbi Yochanan, Shnei Zikenim Hoyu B'Tzidon. There were two sages in the city of Sidon, Echad Oso K'Beis Shammai, V'Echad Oso K'Divrei Beis Hillel. This is an interesting thing when you see the development and concretizing of halacha, that even though Beis Shammai Beis Hillel lived hundreds of years before the story involving Rabbi Yochanan, nevertheless, it seems that the halacha wasn't decided in a strict formal fashion for those several hundred years, where you have people still practicing like Beis Shammai, which for us today, one wouldn't even think of doing that. But at that time, there were those that were still practicing like Beis Shammai, and so one was decreasing as the days went on, and one was increasing. Ze noisei tam lidvorov keneged porei hachag. The Beis Shammai practitioner, who started with a greater number and reduced, he said as his reason that which we listed under our second diamond, the Zen Noising Tam Lidvarov, the one who was practicing like Beis Hillel gave as his reason, Demalin B'Kodesh Vein Muridin. Also, that which was featured under our second diamond. So that it's interesting to note that the idea reflected in the first diamond that we have in our markings, namely Keneged Yomim HaNichnosim, Keneged Yomim HaYotzim, was not cited by these later practitioners. Tonu Rabbanan. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a Tanaic source, and you see again the use of a double underlined series marking, and on the side of the Gemara there are no say Mivneh heading. We feature this marking and indicate Mikumo Shel HaChanukia. We'll see a reference to positioning, placing, location of the Hanukkah candles. Ner Hanukkah Mitzvah L'Hanicha Al Pesach Beiso Mibachutz. The proper place to place the Hanukkah candles is at the outside of the entrance to one's house. If a person lives in an upper story, so that the entrance to his dwelling doesn't open into the street, so manicha b'chaloin hasmucha l'Rosh Hashanah, he should place it in the window that faces the public thoroughfare. U'bishas hasakona manicha al shulchano v'dayo, and at times of danger. So, in other words, where it would be dangerous to have it lighting, being lit in a public fashion. So then, manicho al shulchan avadai, places it on a table within his house, and that is sufficient. The Rashi describes hasakona. Rashi, you'll find approximately the middle of the Rashi page. Shehoya lohem leparsaim choik biyom edom. The Persians had a rule on their idolatrous holidays. Shelo yaviru ner elo bebeis avodah zarah shelahem. Kenamrim begitin. There was a holiday that they observed that one is not allowed to light fire outside of their houses of idol worship. And if one would do that, so they would face consequences. So, as a means of avoiding those consequences, the halacha shows its flexibility and says, simply light it on your table in your house. Omar Rava. As we go on, we have a triangle system here. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, we indicate this as a means of Ma'akav, a means of keeping track, with the triangle point facing up. Tzorich ner acheres l'shtamish l'ora. This will be an instruction that you need an additional candle in order to give license to using the Hanukkah candlelight. With the we're of course working on the assumption, like we saw above, also l'shtamish l'ora, and we saw this ruling in the name of Rav. So that without any special additions, you cannot use the Hanukkah light. So is there a way of making things allowed? So we'll see. And if you have when we see the inverted triangle, Ein Tzorech, we're going to indicate that there's no Tzorech Lener Acher. There is no need for an additional candle. And let's see the Gemara. Omar Rava, Tzorach Ner Acheres L'shtamish L'ora. In order for there to... let's back up for a second. If one were to use the Hanukkah candles for his own business, for reading a book, so it wouldn't be obvious that he lit them for mitzvah purposes. It would be, people would think that he's lighting, there's no special day here. He lit these candles for illumination purposes. So if one does want to use a light, he'd have to light another candle that's not part of the Hanukkah candles, and that would then show that those other candles that he lit, the Hanukkah candles, were lit for mitzvah purposes. Continuing, the Iika Madura, if you have a fireplace that illuminates, lo tzorach, then you don't need another candle. You lit your Hanukkah candles, and for light purposes, you'll derive benefit from the fireplace. The e odom choshevu, afagav the ikum medura tzorach near acheres. If you're dealing with a man of distinction, people of distinction would not sit by fireplaces for illumination purposes. They would sit by candles. So that even if there is a fireplace present, but there is also a man of distinction, an important individual, that will necessitate the lighting of an additional candle other than the Hanukkah candles that are burning. The Gemara, and we've indicated under our topic heading on the side, my Hanukkah, means al eze nes kavua. There was a, Gemara's asking her regarding what miracle was Hanukkah established as a holiday. The Gemara, my Hanukkah, the Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source. Bechofhei beKislev, the 25th of Kislev, Yoyme de Hanukkah, Tamne Inun. There are 8 days of Hanukkah. The Lola Mispad Bahon. These are days that we won't allow eulogizing. Udalo Lisanos Bahon, and no fasting. She Kishenichnesu Yevonim Lehechal. When the Greek armies entered the Beis HaMikdash, Timuko Ashmonim Shebehechal. They defiled all of the oils in the Beis HaMikdash. Ukshigavro Malchus Beis Chashmonoi V'Nitzchum, when the Chashmonoim arose and defeated these Greek armies, Bodkuv lo motzu elopach echod shel shemen shemunach b'choysomer shel kohen gadol. They checked out and found only one flask of oil that still had the Kohen Gadol seal on it, indicating that it wasn't defiled by the Greeks. The amount of oil in this flask was enough for 1 day of burning. And we're talking, of course, of the burning, the light of the menorah that sat in the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. So there was only enough fuel for one night. A miracle took place, and that one flask sufficed for 8 days. Lashon Acheres, a year later, Kavum v'asom yomim toivim b'halel v'hodah. These days were established as days of praise and thanks. It's pointed out in the Meforshim that when we say praise, they were established as days of praise and thanks, as opposed to other holidays where there's also a malacha prohibition, where there's a prohibition of engaging in creative activities similar to Shabbos. That's not the case with regard to Hanukkah. Hanukkah is established as 8 days of Hallel v'Hoidah. Tanan Hossam. We have a Tanaic source that's found in Maseches Bava Kamma. Bava Kamma is a Masechta that deals with the issue of tort law, payment for damages that one causes others. The source says, Getz hayotz mitach zapatish v'yotz v'hizik chayav. Getz is a spark that flies out from under a hammer that is often used in the case of a blacksmith, and he's hammering away, causing sparks to fly. If that spark, let's say, gets caught on some flammable material belonging to someone else, so the person wielding the hammer is obligated to compensate. Gomol shetoun pishton v'over b'rushus harabim. A camel that's loaded with flax stalks. And flax stalks could be rather long at times. V'over b'rushus harabim, and he's passing through a thoroughfare. Because of their extensive length, the tips of these flax stalks actually extended into the store into someone's store and caught fire on the candle that the person had lit inside his own store. And as the camel continued its trek through the public thoroughfare, it's now walking with flaming flax stalks, and they catch fire on other things. The hidlik is a bira, and they light bira is a large structure. They light some building, cause it to go on fire. Baal hagomol chayav, the owner of the camel, is obligated to compensate. He shouldn't have had such lengthy stalks. He should have taken this into consideration, that if they're so long, this might happen. If the store owner put a candle outside his store, in the event that the same conflagration ensues, the store owner will be culpable. He shouldn't have put a burning candle outside your store. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Benir Hanukkah Potter. If the fire that caught onto the flax was the store owner's Hanukkah candles that he placed outside his door, he will not be culpable if the ensuing conflagration takes place. Omar Ravina, Zosomeris, from this story we conclude, Ner Hanukkah Mitzvah, Lanicha Besoch HaSorah, that the location for the Ner Hanukkah must be within 10 tfachim of the ground. The Yistal Kadayich L'Gumal Me'asorah, because if it would occur that it could be lit above 10 tfachim, Le'molei, let the victim of the fire say, the victim of the fire, the victim up till this point we said is not going to receive compensation because we're dealing with Ner Hanukkah. But if there was no legislation regarding the height of the Ner Hanukkah, couldn't the victim claim Hoyel Choloniach Lamala Migom of Rochbo? You should have placed the Hanukkah candles higher than the camel and its rider. So, being that we see exemption and that the nizak, the victim, loses compensation, he does not gain compensation, it must be that the store owner had no latitude and he was forced to light it at that height of 10 tefachim and no more. The Gemara says no, we can't conclude that he has to light it. V'dilma I mitrochalei tuva osi l'mnuye mi mitzvah. Really, the store owner could have lit it higher, we'll say practicing a greater safety measures. However, the halacha is afraid that if we legislate this, he will find it's too much trouble to light it at such a height, and he won't light them at all. So as to prevent this sentiment from arising in the hearts of people, we don't expect him to light them higher than 10 tefachim. And 10 tefachim, at this point in the Gemara, the 10 tefachim is not necessarily the legislated height, but it's a convenient height. He could have lit them higher and still fulfilled the mitzvah, but we don't impose that on them. And since he's lighting it birushus, he's lighting it in an acceptable and allowed fashion, he will not be guilty of damages in the case of Hanukkah candles being the source of the fire. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, this bow tie form, and this is to simply highlight Rav Kahana's name, as these are name roasts of Rav Kahana, as we've indicated in our Mivneh heading. Omar Rav Kahana Dorash Rav Noson Bar Menumi Mishmei the Rebbe Tanchum. The top of Chof Beis Omer Aleph. Ner Shochanaka Shenicha Lamalo Me Esrim Amo Psula. One who lit his Hanukkah candles at a height of more than 20 amos for the sake of simplicity, let's just assume that you have a person whose door opens to a thoroughfare, and he lights the Hanukkah candles at the entrance to his house very high up, more than 20 amos from the ground. Psula, kesuka ukemovui. It's unacceptable, as is the case with the schach of sukkah, that's more than 20 amos up. And kemovui is a reference to the crossbar at the entrance to a private type alleyway, an alleyway that opens from a public thoroughfare, opens into a public thoroughfare. In order to allow carrying in the mavui, one would have to have a crossbeam placed across the entranceway. But if this crossbeam placed at the entranceway to the mavui is more than 20 amos, it's rendered, it's ruled as being posel, so that the 20 amo height figure finds itself in the case of sukkah, the case of mavui, and the case of Ner Hanukkah as well. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.